Good to be here. That was a good shoe-in, a good keyway into my message. That worked great. Good to see everybody tonight. What a good crowd for Sunday night. And I sure appreciate your faithfulness. I see the same folks. Faithfulness is what it's about, folks. It's not about ability. It's about it's about availability. Amen. The only reason I'm here tonight is because I'll show up. God cannot use people that show up once in a while. Just God can't be relying. But it doesn't matter what ability you've got. You show up, God will put you to work doing something. Might not be in the pulpit, might be taking up the offering. The guys look sharp taking up the offering tonight. You know, everything we do in church, man, we should give it our best. It's for the master, amen. We had a good time at church this morning. I got to teach Brother Al's Sunday school class. He was gone. With Brother Jason Watford up in North Carolina, so I got to teach them, and I had a great time in there. I just enjoyed myself thoroughly. I put together the message I taught in Sunday school all week for this tonight. And when I got to Friday morning, I started reading my Bible, and God said, "Nah, and this is what I really want you to preach." I said, "Oh, okay." You know, I didn't think the message this morning that I taught for Sunday school was going to be good, but I had such a good time. I think it was just kind of contagious. The class seemed to enjoy it too. So at any rate, I put together this one. And I said, "Well, I got a message I can use later." And then Brother Al texted me Friday. He said, "I forgot to ask you, can you do my class?" And I said, "I've got a message already sitting right here done. I just didn't know if I was going to be able to use it." So anyway, I had a good time. Had some kids. We had our van around. My bus is still being worked on, but had a good time in the van. With all the kids that came. Just a wonderful day to be in church. What a beautiful day here in Louisiana, huh? We get about four of them a year before the humidity comes and takes over. But right now, it's just beautiful. I love you. I love you. I thank you for letting me be here tonight. I wish we were neighbors. I think all of us in this room, I'd enjoy being your neighbor. Especially if you come over and cut my grass for me and stuff like that. Really, what a blessing, though, if we could. We're going to be neighbors one day.
Amen.
You know, and it could be tomorrow. You know, I think when people were looking at the ark, when Noah was building the ark, when he was cutting down trees, I don't think anybody was looking for the flood. And when he was planing the boards, they weren't really looking. But one day that thing started to take shape. And I still don't think they were ready for what he was talking about. But one day they looked and they saw the animals getting on. And Noah's putting in the last wooden peg in the front of that thing. If I'd have been back then, I'd have said, you know, just for safety's sake. You know, I'll spend a week on there with some animals just in case what he's saying is true. I'd have had enough sense to get on the boat. You know, if you look around, watch TV right now, it looks like the animals are on their way. Looks like the last piece of the ark is being put in place. It's the go time is here. If you're not in, you better not wait. Because one day, boom, the door is going to be shut. Boy, it's going to be too late then. It was too late for everybody then. It'd be too late for us that put it off too long. I've got a message tonight I hope you'll find interesting. We're going to start in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts 17. I'm going to give you a couple springboard verses, and then we'll jump into the message. Tonight's message is on the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's going to involve a little more than that, but basically that's an exciting passage. Acts chapter 17, I want to read this there because it dovetails into the message. Acts 17 talks about God's desire that all men would seek him. And you know, if you're talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, it was a story about a man seeking God. Let's look in Acts 17. Let me pray together with you first. Would you bow your head and close your eyes while we pray? God, we just want you to be here tonight. I know that you are, where two or three are gathered together in the midst, but I pray you be here with power, not upon just me. I pray my preaching and speeching to be a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, and it wouldn't be anything of me, but I wouldn't even get in the way. Let the Holy Spirit work. And then also it'd be a demonstration in the hearts of your people that you'd give us something tonight for a hungry folk. We love you and looking forward to the trumpet sounding soon, God. And pray you help us to be diligent till that time. Amen. Acts 17. Aren't you glad you have the Bible?
Amen.
What a joy to be in a place where you got a Bible in your lap And you can bring it home when you read God's love letter. Talk about the love of God. There's a love letter. Acts 17 in verse 26. We'll read through verse 28. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also of his offspring. It says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might find after him, though he be not very far from us. Aren't you glad when people do turn their heart to seek the Lord? It's not a long journey. It's right there. Now, even the prodigal son had to go all the way back home from the hog pen. But when you turn by faith to God, he's right there. It's not a long journey back. It's a step in his direction, is one of the songs we sing in choir says. God desires men to seek him. Look in John chapter 4. Hope you don't mind using your Bible. It is church. Amen. We need to spend some time in the book. I think that glorifies God for sure. If I read one verse and stand up here and pontificate for an hour, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I've got the power of the book in front of me. I may as well use what? The word. In John chapter 4, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now here's the last part. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is looking for seekers. I believe he's looking for us to be seekers. Tomorrow morning I don't have to seek for salvation, but I think it pleases God if I spend time in his word seeking him. Tonight we're going to look at this story. It begins with a deacon. His name, he was one of the deacons chosen, and his name was Philip. He was out witnessing and preaching to the preaching Jesus in all of all places, Samaria. He was definitely associating with people he did not grow up caring for. If you were a Jew and you grew up in the Jewish nation and culture like Philip did, you had no love for the Samaritan people. If you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, he said, "Who's your neighbor?" And Jesus went on to say, let me tell you a little story. And the way he could make his point most definitely was to show them their enemy is their neighbor. Who is their enemy? The Samaritans. He said the Samaritan guy came and helped. The Jews and the Samaritans were polar opposite. As far as their love for each other. It was bad. A Jewish man would walk around on the other side of the street, they said, if I wasn't back there then. But that's what they said. They had such animosity. Well, here's a Jewish deacon, and God puts him in the middle of all those people. That had to be interesting for him. The Jews and the Samaritans were not friends, associates, or even liked by each other. Now, you know what they got going on at work for me right now? And probably everybody else that's working. They've got this diversity and inclusion stuff. Every single meeting I go to, they want us to put our arms around everybody and love them all and work with them all and hug them all and be friends with them all and support them all. And I can only take so much of that. But you think about what's being taught in the scripture tonight. Here's Jesus calling a deacon, a Jewish deacon, to go to the people that he will not, he does not desire to include. He wants to be, he grew up that way. It's hard to get something out of you that's raised in you. Yeah. Philip wasn't the exception. He was an exceptional Christian. Yeah. He wasn't exceptional like all the other. Remember when he went to see the Samaritan woman? When Jesus went to the well? The disciples came up and they all went, "What is he doing? What's he doing? He's talking to that woman." And it blew them. They didn't even want to go to the Samaritan. Jesus said, "Yeah, we must needs go through Samaria." So this was kind of hard for them. God is all inclusive, folks. He's all inclusive. Whosoever will may come. Now we think tonight. I know what you're thinking. I sat in your pew where you're sitting. You're thinking, "Well, I don't have any real animosity against anybody." Maybe not. But these Jews had to push past built-in problems with other peoples. Let's look at this tonight. It's so good. Look in Acts chapter 8. I hope you came hungry. If you came hungry, you'll get fed. Man. That's just the way it is. Acts chapter 8, we're going to look about Philip here. He is, we're going to start off with him before we get to the Ethiopian eunuch. This man is a, we're going to talk about two servants tonight. This one is a witnessing servant. Look in Acts chapter 8, look in verse 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. He's a witnessing servant. We've all got to be willing to be witnessing servants. And he was witnessing to folks that he did not naturally want to witness to. I'll give you the extreme example is Jonah. God said, I want you to be a witnessing servant in Nineveh. He said, I don't think so. That's not going to happen. You kill me before I go witness them folks. And God said, I got something better. I'll throw you in a whale for 3 days and three nights, and you might have a different attitude about witnessing when you come out. And he did go witness, didn't he? Amen. Now, Philip, God said, you go down there to Samaria. I want you to go witness those folks and go talk to them. Somehow God got him there. Doesn't sound like God specifically said, I want you to go there. But it's like many of ministry. You see a need and you step in to take care of that need. And I believe he saw a group of people. Maybe he met somebody that was a Samaritan. Said, could you come with me to my house? And when he got there, people started seeing miracles that this deacon did. God just started blessing. And Philip was an obedient witnessing service. He preached and taught. Basically, they had a wonderful little revival going on here. Didn't sweep the whole area, but certainly Samaria was caught up in it. God gave special miracles to grab their attention so they would listen to the words of Philip, this deacon. And boy, what a time they had. We have to be, whether it's going to people that we don't understand, you know, them folks that you saw, you said, ah, man, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. God said, you know, those are the folks we need to witness to. And you're going, that's out of your boundary, out of your comfort zone. That's not the kind of folk, I don't know what they were particularly involved in, but we have to be willing to talk to anybody. Especially when the Lord opens a door. Yeah. I remember when I got opportunity to go to LTI. I walked in there and everybody was not like me. The guards weren't like me. The boys weren't like me. Nobody liked me. I was a real outsider. And God put me there for 30 years. And I'm not bragging, but I'm saying God wanted me there. Put me in the middle. And boy, you had to earn their respect. It wasn't just instant. They all, oh yeah. But the love of God is real to anybody. And God, his love, through his word and through going, being faithful, again, just being faithful, they came around. But it was the different people that I grew up with around, different people than I had culturally around. You talk about different. When I got to Louisiana, I'm not bragging on me at all. I'm talking about different people. LTI was different people. When I came to Louisiana, I was in the bus ministry for a while. And God sent me down to Bayou Sorrel. They started, they had a little church down there. And well, as a matter of fact, before the church even opened, for about 6-8 months, I ran a bus from the old Central Baptist location by Earl K. Long Hospital. I ran a bus route to Bayou Sorrel and picked up about 40 kids. And if you've never been to Bayou Sorrel except to go fish, you don't know Bayou Sorrel. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I ain't never been to a Bayou Sorrel. I'm talking about, I promise you, on a stack of Bibles that high, on every single Saturday, I knocked on a bus door. And they'd open a bus door, and I'd come in like this, and the whole house, they lived in a bus, stuck in the ground. They had one little area knocked out, and had a stove in it, they had a bed in the back, had a TV. I mean, I walked in the bus. I talk about different people. From a boy that grew up a Yankee Man, these people, and every one of them, I didn't miss, for all those years, I didn't miss one Saturday WWE boxing, because they were all, and it was wrestling. The wrestling was on every TV in every house. I could go to house to house to house. I didn't miss a wrestling match. They were all just sitting there glued to the TV watching a wrestling match. The kids were under the house playing. The house was only that high. I'd look underneath the house, and there they are. Look like possums. I'd get out here and talk to me. And there was a lot of family in the family. So they're cross-eyed kids, and I mean, just poor little children. I was knocking on doors, standing there talking to folks, and there's a Nutri-Rat eating out of the dog's bowl right there on the front porch. I'm sitting there knocking on, looking, that's a Nutri-Rat. He's right there. I just sat there and looked at the Nutri-Rat, and I thought, I'm not in Ohio anymore. It was culture shock. Shock. Not, I can go down there fishing now. It's different when you go in everybody's house. They're all related. Somehow they were all, the triplets were related to the twins. The twins were related to him. I went to this guy's house. His name was Fat Jack. That's what said on the sign. And he would run trout lines. And in the morning, he'd have one of them big plastic blue swimming pools about that high, filled with catfish this big. Filled. I used to love going by. I'd see his daughter and get her come on the bus. And I'd talk to him about his catfish. It was just a different people. They had alligators for pets. I used to love that. One boy had, I think his name was Harry, something like that. I said, man, I always want to see his alligator. He had one of them blue swimming pools. And one day I came and said, how's your gator? He said, it's gone. I said, what happened? He said, the pool froze last night. I said, you didn't bring him in? No. Didn't bring him in. It was as different a group. But you know, one day my bus broke down. A spark plug flew out of the engine. It just shot out somewhere. I'm not a mechanic. I just looked at it and says, it ain't running. I'm not even going to open the hood. You know, it's broke. I didn't have any tools with me. I couldn't have done nothing but tear it apart. And I called Brother Bazette and I said, Brother Danny, he was here Wednesday night. I said, look, Brother Danny, my bus is broke down. You need to come get me. He said, I'll come get you. And he said, I'll come back Monday for the bus. I said, no, somebody be living in it by then. You need to come get something to bring the bus back too. You know, God's interested in putting you sometimes in places where you're really out of place. Doesn't mean you can't be used. Out at LTI, how am I supposed to be used in the group God put me in? Bunch of wacko teenagers or criminals. But God loved them. And you know what he does when he puts you in a place like that? He gives you love for them. People would ask me, you think you're making any difference? I said, I don't know. I love them. I love to see what happens out there. Yeah, it's challenging. But and I'm sure he had his challenges inwardly and culturally meeting these people. But boy, what a witnessing servant. If we're flexible and inclusive and look at the world like God's does with a big heart, no matter who you see on the side of the road, or no matter who you in your family's got problems, you know, we got LGBTQ, all kind of folks now. Guess what? Somebody needs to tell one of them folks, hey, Brother Mike preached a message on the love of God this morning. Somebody needs to tell every one of them, you know, God loves you. God loves you. They're as different to me as I can. This LT, I mean, as Bayou Sorrow was. I can't understand their lifestyle, their culture. I don't approve it, don't understand it, don't know it. But if I have a chance to be around them and God puts me in a situation, I can, with a big heart of God, say, man, God loves you. I was a big mess and God saved me. No matter what in the world's going on in a person's life, you don't know. You don't know how they got drug into something. You don't know who they were adopted by and basically raised in, where they wouldn't be in situations. And God said, man, if I put you with them, I want you to love on them. I want you to talk to them. I want you to witness to them. We can't say, oh, those are Samaritans. LGBTQS, Samaritan. No, I can't go to Samaritans. I see the looks on your faces. If I was one of those folks tonight and I came to church, I would hope one of you men would sit by me and say, I'm glad you're here, brother. Not brother in Christ, brother friend. I'm glad you're here. Not mess with me about how I look or how I act. but just would say, I hope you come back Sunday night. I appreciate you being here. I hope that you got something from the message. That this guy was a witnessing servant. Then also he was a willing servant. Look into Acts 8:26. This is important. Not just a witnessing servant, but a willing. And the angel, he's in revival in Samaria now. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The first thing, he's in the middle of revival. Things are going good. The church is exciting. And he says, leave. I know I sent you here. I'm blessing this thing. I'll take care of my work. Don't worry about it. I want you to go out in the middle of the desert. There's nobody in the desert. There's nothing in the desert. And you know what Philip does? He just grabbed his bug out pack, threw it over his back, took his Bible and said, I'm out of here, folks. I'll see you. God bless you. Jimmy's in charge. And he just left just like that. Didn't he say hi or bar nothing? Just God told me to go. I better get with it. How many people you hear, God gives them instruction. They say, man, I prayed about that for 3 years. God just worked me over for you. We should be like privates in the army. General says, go, grab your gun and go. And we should just say, okay, I'm just a grunt in the matter. And he was a not only a witnessing servant, but a willing servant. Went down to Gaza. He didn't know why, did he? Did it say why? Doesn't say why. Just said, go to the desert. Then our story switches to another servant. This man, as you know him, as the Ethiopian eunuch, he was an exceptional Ethiopian, I would say. Not your run-of-the-mill anybody. He was an exceptional man. Look in Acts chapter 8, and let's look in verse 27. This is Philip, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This is truly an exceptional person. He is. Now, why did God choose Philip to go see this guy, do you think? Because he saw Philip willing to go to the Samaritans that were out of sorts with the Jews. Now he's got a brother, a black guy from Ethiopia. I don't know how many Jews hung around the brothers from Ethiopia, but I don't think many. He was a eunuch. Another interesting fact. And he was a Gentile. And he said, Philip, I know you won't have any problem with this guy. Some of these other Jews, they might have to have a little vision in the middle of the night to go, but you'll just go where I send you. He said, there's a guy I want you to go see. An exceptional man. I think exceptionally wise, exceptionally talented, and a very important man. You know, if you reach an important man, you remember when, who was he that got a, oh, let me think of his name for a second. The guy that had Naaman, Mr. Naaman the leper, a Syrian. He was one of the leading rulers in the entire country of Syria. Other than the king, he was number one. And when he got his leprosy healed, he went back home and the whole nation knew about it. God sometimes picks people that are in leadership to show his country or his people about God's power. Well, here this guy is an unusual Ethiopian, and he's a working servant. Number one, he's a working servant. We looked at the willing servant and a witnessing servant there. Now we're going on to him. He was a treasurer to Candace the queen. Not everybody would get picked to hold the finances of a country. Do you know who they say used to be the queen of Ethiopia? The queen of Sheba. Remember that came to see? Which is way back in history from here. But I was reading a lot of stuff that said she was a queen of Ethiopia. You know how far it is from Ethiopia to Jerusalem? About 1,500 miles. That's like north to south in the United States. This Ethiopian had traveled to Jerusalem, but he was a very important man. He was a working man serving the queen. He was also a worshiping servant, not just a working man of high importance, He was a worshiping servant. Look in Acts chapter 20, Acts 8, 27. We're going to stay in this chapter. It said, let me find where we're at here, 27. Let's read that. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to what? You got your Bible in front of you? What?
Worship.
He's coming there to worship. 1,500 miles in a chariot. That's weeks. I mean, how long did it take us 2 days to go across country? But in a chariot or on a horse or wagon, whatever, it'd take you weeks and weeks and weeks. He was a worshiping servant. And I think he might have had some trouble. He went to Jerusalem, but he never got saved there. If you know anything about the story, he didn't get saved. I remember going to First Baptist Church downtown, Baton Rouge. I didn't get saved. I didn't get anything. Difference in churches. Difference in the Spirit of God. Difference in the truth that's preached. But this man went. He knew about the God of the Jews. He probably heard about the Red Sea and the Jordan River and all the miracles of God. And he made this trip. He said, I want to learn more about the God of the Jews. He went 1,500 miles to worship. But you know what the book of Deuteronomy said? And for sake of time, I'm going to cut this down here. He couldn't even go into the, because of his being a eunuch, he couldn't even go into the temple. He could go to the court of the Gentiles. He couldn't even go in there. Imagine coming 1,500 miles and when you get to the gate, they say, he said, man, I'm a treasurer of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, one of her eunuchs, and I'm come here to worship. And they said, well, why don't you just back out the gate because you're not allowed in here. You're relegated to the court of the Gentiles. I'm afraid you're going to have to go over here. How would that make you feel? You see how God, that hurts his heart? God told everybody about being partial to different folks. He said, man, somebody comes into your church wearing a fancy ring and fancy clothes, and you bring him down here to the front, and the guy comes in here with jeans and tattoos, and you put him on the last pew. God said, that ain't right. Don't be partial among yourselves. Well, I believe this guy probably, you know how the Jews are. Number one, he gets there and they say, oh, black guy. I remember how many churches around Louisiana, wasn't many years ago at all. Our church, Central Baptist, turned them away at the door. And Brother Buchanan got there and said, I think Brother Danny went and told him, that can't happen no more. I got to go. Brother Buchanan said, I was already meaning to take care of it. Don't worry about it. And Brother Buchanan took care of it, stopped that, and never happened again. But that happened right here in Louisiana. Well, this guy's a black guy, and he's a Gentile. I'll bring a Gentile to the Jewish temple to worship. And they're going, okay, you're a eunuch. Can't come in according to Deuteronomy. You can't come in here. Oh, you're a Gentile. Well, we're all Jews. You're going to have to go sit over here. And you're a black guy. So, well, you know, you're going to have to find out some other brothers to go worship with because I don't know who's going to sit with you. No wonder when he was coming back home, he was still searching. Went to where the temple was, and the sacrifice was made. He didn't get saved. A lot of people, you got to feel sorry for them. They're in church this morning, but all they got was a dose of religion. Kneel down, stand up, kneel down, stand up, say this. He says that, stand up, back and forth. Now he says this, you say that. You know what you leave just as lost as when you went in. This poor guy went to the place of the temple, but didn't get anything. A worshiping servant. Then look in verse 26 of Acts 8. Excuse me, 28. Says, who was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He wasn't only a working servant for Candace. He was not only a worshiping servant, because he went to Jerusalem to worship, it says, but he was a wandering service, not wandering around lost, wandering about what in the world the scripture means. I remember before I got saved, I'd read my Bible and it was an empty book to me. I got zero. I'm sorry. I knew it was the Word of God because it was different. It was special. It was not like any other book in the world, but I didn't get anything. And this man, he's trying. He's wondering, what is this about? And that's where God's saying, I'm fixing to show you. You know, wouldn't it be good? You know, usually when you go witnessing, we have to bring a Bible. Well, Philip, he's down there. He bugged out so quick, I don't even know if he brought a copy of the Torah. This man was so wealthy, he had a copy of the scriptures. Who had copies of the scriptures back then? This man did. Philip said, you know, I'm glad you brought your Bible. I forgot mine back in Samaria. Usually we're going, hey, you mind if I show you the book? The Ethiopian eunuch was going, hey, you mind if I show you the book? And Philip's going, what are you reading, son? He said, well, this is a... Boy, any kid could have won this guy to Christ. He was hungry. He had the scripture open to the perfect spot. They didn't have the New Testament yet. But here was Isaiah 53. He was wondering, who's this about? There's some folks out today, not everybody, but you might run across somebody if me and you will open our mouths and speak for the Lord. Somebody might say, you know, I've been wondering. Have you ever heard anybody talk when you talk to them about the Lord? I've been wondering about that. I've been wondering about that. They always go, the book of Revelation, what does that really mean? You're going, son, that's back way up to the book of John. Maybe we'll go back to Genesis. But they always want to know about the beast of Daniel or the something in Revelation. But this guy was in the perfect place, wondering about what this is. And then Philip took the book and showed him who it was about. And he said, you mean that man that we're reading about died for me? He said, he just died recently on a cross and rose again. He said, that's the best thing I ever heard. He said, Philip said, God loves you. Just like this morning's message. God loves you, Mr. Black man, Mr. Ethiopian, Mr. Gentile. Why did God send Philip? Philip didn't see all that stuff. Philip didn't see his skin color. Philip didn't see his physical problems. Philip didn't see his Gentile. He just saw the need of the man. And Philip, God said, I know this guy will witness to him. And this guy will really care. Because if you don't care, they see that. God can't use you if you got a cold heart. But boy, Philip was on fire. He was ready to witness. He'd been witnessing and preaching up in Samaria and seeing miracles. How many miracles did the Ethiopian eunuch see? See how God works different with different people? He's never the same. Just let God, let the book do its work. Remember what did he use? The book showed him the scripture. Then in Acts 35, 35 through 37, we read, he got washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. A working servant, a worshiping servant, a wandering about the scripture. Now he's washed. I'm going to read this for you because we're almost out of time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. I like this. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Ouchie. But ye are washed. Is that the best feeling in the world, to be washed in the blood? But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch got to hear. Didn't hear it in church. You wonder, let me read this to you. If I stop here, you'll understand. Go to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah, you gotta see this. This will be something good. I don't know if this man heard this preached in the temple. I don't know if he heard it preached by Philip. But I would not be surprised. Philip, look at me, folks. Philip could see, I believe, that this guy had some hurts. 1,500 miles, and when he gets there, he gets nothing. Ritual, tradition. He heard about God, but didn't find him at Jerusalem. I believe a sensitive man can see the hurt in folks' hearts that are talking to. Them guys at LTI that I used to go to, they might have been different than me and hard, but they didn't grow up on Green Acres Court in Cincinnati, Ohio, with a loving mom and loving dad. Everything provided for them. Dad went to work. Mom stayed home, read to us children in the bed in the morning. Just, I had the perfect childhood. Not one of them had that. And you have to understand, you got to look at him and see beyond the rebellion, beyond the difficulty. And I believe this man, I hope he read him this. Look in Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Now think about this. I hope this Ethiopian eunuch got to hear this. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keeping the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord, this guy was surely a stranger, speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Don't you know that's what he was feeling? The Lord hath utterly separated me. He didn't seem to fit in with the Jews. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For that's probably what he felt like. Where did God put him to meet Philip? In the desert. It was a perfect picture of the man's spiritual condition. Go to the desert. This guy wasn't driving. He was stopped sitting there. And I'm sure in his heart he felt like a dry tree. I don't fit in color-wise. I don't fit in spiritually. I don't fit in Gentile-wise. I can't fit in. I'm a eunuch. No doubt that desert place was, he thought was for him. Look in, let's keep going in verse 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose those things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto him will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of the daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. I will make them joyful in the house of prayer. I could go on and on, but I believe if Philip was sensitive to this, when he finished reading that, he'd say, I got good news for you. Not only does he want to save you, he just turned two pages, 53 to 56, he said, look at this. God loves you, strangers. God loves you, eunuchs. He desires for worshipers to seek him. He's longing for you, sir. And I believe that would have warmed that guy's heart. We need to know the book that when you meet somebody, you can turn to someone and say, this is what God thinks of you. You failed him. But so have we all, and God loves you. I believe this verse would help that guy, don't you? Talking specifically about outcasts, specifically about strangers and eunuchs. And I know if I'd have known it was there, and I'm sure Philip knew the book backward and forward. They didn't have the New Testament. He could have said, I'm glad you're saved. Let me show you something else here. Then lastly, he was a wishing servant. He said, I'm wishing to get baptized. Is that okay? And Philip said, as soon as we find some water. And he said, I'm hoping we find some soon. He was excited about getting baptized. You know, you have to get baptized. Baptism is not an option, sir. It's like playing ball and saying, look, I don't like that guy on first base. I'm just going to run straight to second base. You're not going to ever play baseball. Baptism is an obedience to Christ. Once you get saved, hit the pool. And that's what did. As soon as he got saved, he said, now you know what you need to do next? He said, huh? He said, you need to get baptized. He said, stop the chariot. There's water. He was a wishing servant, wishing to follow the Lord. Then he was welcomed. He may have not been welcomed by the religious Jews, but he was welcomed by God. You know, I like Philip was willing to run to him. He was willing to join him in conversation. He was willing to sit with him. He said, come up and sit with me. Philip didn't go, oh, I don't really want it. This guy's an Ethiopian. He's a eunuch. He just hopped right up in that chariot, sat down right next to him and said, man, why don't we just have a little Bible study right here? He didn't have any problem with sitting with him. Folks who come in the back door, if you have a problem with sitting anybody that comes in this church, shame on you. Shame on me. We should. Now, I've been in the bus ministry long enough. Some of that's worn off with me. When I was younger, maybe so. Now, I love, the worse they look, the better I'm happy. I'm just glad they're coming, getting saved. Now, I don't care if you know what you look like or who you are. I'm happy for you because I was worse than you probably when I got saved. Worse than anybody walking this church. But Philip was willing to sit with him, talk with him. Let's go ride together. I'm going to baptize him. Man, he wanted to make sure this guy was taken care of. And God knew who to send. Not everybody in this church is going to all have all those kind of feelings. But somebody in here, when a visitor walks in the door, there should be a couple fist fights break out. No, I'm going to sit with him. No, I'm going to sit with him. No, she's my daughter's age. I want him to sit with him. No, he's a guy. I want him to sit with me. We should be desirous to help, not just when a missionary comes. Oh, a missionary, somebody wants to take him to dinner. How about the guy all tattooed up that don't have any food, no clothes, and stinks? Somebody should still fight to sit with him, even if he don't, you know, if he's different, like this guy was. This guy was different looking as a eunuch, as a Gentile, but he was sharp. This Ethiopian eunuch was sharp. Probably a whole lot smarter than Philip. A whole lot more talented than Philip. But Philip said, I got something you need to make your life whole. One piece missing. You know Mr. Naaman that I mentioned, the general from Syria? He had everything. You might run across a businessman, your boss. He might have everything, but he's missing that piece of the puzzle right here. The Ethiopian eunuch looked everywhere and couldn't find it. But if you're seeking, God's going to save you. If you're seeking God, you show me any place in the book or in life where someone's been seeking God with all their heart and God doesn't send them somebody. God makes sure they get to hear. God can move heaven and earth. He'll send a missionary halfway across the world to somebody up in a tree saying, boy, I want to get close to you, God. I just don't know how. God said, I'll take care of that. God is interested in those that are seeking him. And lastly, he went on his way worshiping. This guy, man, he just went. He had a song in his heart. Philip went one way. He got in the chariot. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. He had songs to sing. Now those songs that he heard in Jerusalem, they made sense to him now. There is a fountain filled with blood. You might have heard that before you got saved. Didn't mean nothing. Now it means everything. The Ethiopian was seeking the Lord. God saw him seeking and sent. Like Cornelius. Remember Cornelius, the other Gentile that got saved? He was also seeking the Lord, and God sent Peter to him, just all the way through the book. God sent Philip to that seeker. God opened his word to that man that was seeking. God saved that guy that was seeking him, the Ethiopian. And then the seeker was satisfied when it was all over. He went away singing and happy. You know, Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost. And we're just needing more Phillips. And I don't know particularly why God laid this message on my heart. I know I need it. No doubt about it. I shouldn't pass up anybody. And I certainly shouldn't pass up anybody just because I don't feel comfortable. You know, I've done that many times. I've seen some guys that look like that playing basketball. And I thought, they don't want to talk to me. They're you know... I'm an older guy. They're a bunch of young guys. Got their shirts off. They're all partying and horsing around, smoking stuff. They don't want me to come up and teach them, to tell them God loves them. That's exactly what I should have done. And I just said, you know, I'll just keep on my little merry way. But Philip was one of them guys. He was ready to go. Good man. a good lesson. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, thank you for these good folks tonight that listen. There's a lot I said. Maybe something here will stir our hearts to do more for thee. Would you all stand just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed? Just stand to your feet if you'd like to come to the altar. Maybe God spoke to you and you'd like to come to the altar. Maybe there's someone you need to pray for that's sick. Maybe you've got a loved one that maybe you need to reach. Maybe you've got something on your heart you'd like to come to the altar of. The altar's open now. The message covered seeking and saving and salvation and worship. Covered a lot of things. I hope God spoke to you somewhere. You can play piano.